Good morning, Tucson, and all of Arizona. Welcome into the Common Workspace Studios live for this drive time hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser on AM 1030 KVOI, The Void. Good morning to you. Looking forward to the show ahead. I've been saying that the show really, in some regards, at times, is hard truths told well. How do we talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future? Hard truths told well. But I'm excited today to kick off the hour with my friend Eric Smith, the Executive Director of the University of Arizona Center for Innovation. It's a piece of my new rule for all those things that we say, hey, what can we do better? How can we improve? We talk about the success stories. Eric has called in 790-2040. We'll go to Eric in just a minute. And then Mayor Tom Murphy, the Mayor of Sahuarita, will be in studio live with us to talk about what's going on there. We'll talk some regional issues. That's our show today, and good morning to you here live on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Tipping Point with Zach Yenser. Let's go ahead and welcome on in now Eric Smith, University of Arizona Center for Innovation. Good morning to you, Eric. How are you?
Good morning, Zach. I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
Good, good. It's been a minute since we were on the air, and always good to chat. So, I've got a lot of exciting updates here that I know is going on your end, University of Arizona Center for Innovation. But let's kick this off. We've got you to the bottom of the hour. Give me your 30,000-foot here view of what's going on in the region, specifically around startups, tech, and tech innovation in the region. What's going on in Eric's world at the University of Arizona?
What's going on in Eric's world? So what's going on in the innovation world right here in Southern Arizona? It's actually a really exciting time. If our incubator is any small indication of what's happening here in Southern Arizona, there's a lot going on. Just us alone right now, we have 57 startups that we are serving, most of whom are located here in Southern Arizona, all of whom are working on some kind of novel or new science or technology that that's the core of their business. Our incubator itself is full, so our wet labs are full, our dry labs, our offices, and of course we serve our startups virtually. And I look at the incubator and talk about the incubator because it is, you know, really an indicator of what's happening in Southern Arizona, because we don't have work to do if the rest of the community isn't doing work. So things are starting to hum along. We have what we call feeders or organizations that send us startups, and they're doing an incredible job. And so we have a lot to work with, and it's really exciting times for us and the innovators here in the region.
Yeah, Eric, that's incredible. And it's funny because I think as we get closer to that conversation today with Mayor Tom Murphy, the Mayor of Sahuarita, you've got some themes really all across greater Tucson. One more question kind of to set the table, and then we'll get into the weeds a little bit more. I think the three-legged stool of launching innovation out of the university, really out of anywhere, is you need the space to do it. You need the mentorship to help that idea grow and launch. And then you need the funding to get it going. Tell me about, even one or two kind of new funding streams, dollars that are coming into the region that you guys are going after at the University of Arizona and the Center for Innovation. That is helping startups get the capital they need to get going. I think when we were looking at kind of, hey, what's happened the last 3 months at UACI, I was like, wow, there's a lot of dollars coming in. Tell us about that piece. It seems like more than it's ever been.
Yeah, I mean, as with anything, those things kind of ebb and flow. But I'll talk about it from kind of a macro level and a micro level. And what I mean by macro level is, what are the dollars that are coming in to regions like ours and organizations like ours that support startups? Because startups can receive funding in cash, of course, but there are also other ways that they can receive assistance that in some cases can mean more to them than cold hard cash. And so, yes, it's exciting, not just for our community, but for communities all across the United States when it comes to the available funding to support innovators in a given region. And some of this has to do with the infrastructure bill that was passed at the federal level. We're starting to see some of that money flow down to regions like ours. In our world, those of us that support startup companies, we like to say that we do it for economic development, and we certainly do. And because of that, a lot of the funding available for communities like ours comes through the Economic Development Administration. So we're seeing some of that. Those opportunities open up. And then in addition, you know, for the incubator itself, we're seeing the community really step up. So since we've last spoken, we have obtained additional sponsors, and these are corporations and municipalities that are stepping up to help support companies and provide them with not just the funding, a little bit of cash, but also the two other legs of the stool that you mentioned, you know, the access to space and access to the programming, specifically at UACI. So on a macro level, I think our community is really looking at coming together to try to obtain some of this funding to really support the innovators in our region. And then from what I would consider to be a micro level or more funding that's going directly into companies, we're seeing a lot of activity in our incubator with our startups with funding coming from a mechanism called SBIRs. And this is ultimately federal funding. So agencies out there, they typically put money into research institutions, universities like ours here in Tucson. And they actually have to take aside some of that funding and provide that directly to the private startups and small businesses to do some of that similar work. So SBIR stands for Small Business Innovation Research. It provides phased funding for startup companies. And currently, just in the incubator alone, we've attracted, we're right around $6 million in active SBIR awards. And it's worthy to note that for a startup to obtain one of these, they don't have to give away a percentage of their company, a piece of the pie. It's what we call non-dilutive funding. So this is funding that's coming into our region, going into new and novel technologies so that these startups have a chance at proving feasibility and then commercializing them. So that's been really exciting to see some of our companies obtain that funding recently.
We're with Eric Smith this morning, Executive Director of the University of Arizona Center for Innovation. Kind of setting the table of what is going on in the region around getting technology and startups and innovation going out of the university, and then talking about some new funding streams. When we come back, I want to get Eric's thoughts on what are the industries that we are seeing really growing and thriving here, and also talk about how the University of Arizona is also now a part of not just municipality, the city of Tucson, but all around the region getting innovation going. That and more on the other side here as we're just getting started this Tuesday morning. Tipping Point with Zach Yenser here on AM 1030 KVOI. The Voice returns. We're just getting started. Don't go anywhere, Tucson.
Tucson's trusted voice for local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento.
Helping you make better money decisions is what the Ramsey Show is all about. Today at 1 p.m. on 1030 The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Good morning to you live here out of the Common Workspace Studios. Tipping Point with Zach Yenser with Eric Smith, University of Arizona Center for Innovation, AM 1030, KVY The Voice. He's our guest right now. We're talking really the last few months since he and I had a time to chat on the air and update about what the center is doing to drive innovation out of the University of Arizona. We talked about some of the specifics, some of the things that are doing. We talked about that three-legged stool, the space to grow, the mentorship to grow well, and the funding to grow long-term. Eric, I wanted to get your thoughts on what are the industries, the clusters, the sectors that are really being driven out of this region, but especially out of the University of Arizona and the University of Arizona Center for Innovation. What are we seeing start to click here in the region?
So they're all kind of tied together. The strengths of a university, the strengths of our region, and then the innovation that we see coming from those strengths, in our case, the startups that are popping up. And so if you think about the university is really good at in a number of very large areas. And what we're seeing kind of come through the pipeline through, technology transfer and in other ways are strengths in optics, which is really an enabling technology. It's kind of at the core of a lot of new tech that's out there. We're seeing quite a bit in the life sciences. So these are new therapeutics, new medical devices, new drug candidates. And so, playing on the strengths that we have at the university and at Banner, we're seeing actually quite of enabling technologies for industries such as mining. It's become a pretty prevalent industry for us, and there are a lot of technologies that can really go into what some can see as an archaic industry, but in reality, it really is fairly innovative. And so kind of combining a lot of these things together, these are also strengths of our region. And so specifically for the incubator, we, over the last few months, have seen a heavy uptick in the life sciences or medical technologies, healthcare, things of that nature. To some extent, because we have the facilities, the space, as you mentioned, to serve those types of companies, but also because it is a growing strength of our region. So these are some of the areas that we're seeing.
With Eric Smith this morning, again, Executive Director of UACI, the University of Arizona Center for Innovation. Obviously, when we say the U of A, Eric, we think of a certain geography, but the University of Arizona Center for Innovation, Tech Parks Arizona, really has a large geographic footprint. Tell me about some of what's going on in Oro Valley. Give us an update on the bioscience-focused incubator in Oro Valley. And then when you and I are done, in a few moments, Eric, I'm going to have in Mayor Tom Murphy, the mayor of Sahuarita, and you guys just started up a partnership down in Sahuarita as well. So give me the regional look at what you guys are driving in terms of technology and innovation in the region.
So I get really excited about this, and I'll try to keep it as brief as possible. The university has a footprint far beyond, the campus in Tucson. And we're doing a lot of really incredible things across the state and across the nation. So yes, up in Oro Valley, as many know, we have a biotech-focused incubator up there. It was built in partnership with the municipalities and corporations in the area, most of whom are in the life sciences. That incubator location is physically full, so we have all of the startups that we need to fill that location. What's nice about that is that a few of those are technology transfer-based companies. So they're companies that were based on University of Arizona IP. And we're really proud to help extend the university's reputation into Oro Valley alongside other groups from the university, such as the vet school. And Oro Valley is really, the town is really doubling down on how do we look at innovation as a driver for economic growth. And so how do we get these startups to stay here?
How do we get them to root themselves here, to grow here? How do we create more Ventanas that turn into Roches? And so excited about what's going on in Oro Valley. But the university really has, a great influence and the capacity to assist and impact in regions all across the state. We're working with an asset that we have in Maricopa, for example, which is just south of Phoenix, in the agriculture space. The university has a pretty large footprint in Yuma, again, in agriculture, and there's a lot of that technology happening right now in response to things such as climate change. And we are working in the town of Sahuarita as well. So very excited about that. And there's an opportunity for listeners out there if they find themselves applicable. So for the last few years, we've been working with the town, and the town is really trying to increase their capacity to serve technology companies and technology startups. And last year, we piloted a sponsored launch program with them where the town worked with Freeport-McMoRan. They came together. They decided to sponsor three startups in the incubator. They did so. And because of the support of the town and Freeport, in combination with our programming, those three startups obtained some pretty incredible success over the last year. One of whom won a Phase 1 SBIR, the funding mechanism that I mentioned earlier. Another is in the running for a multi-million dollar contract with a multinational organization. And a third one just won a worldwide pitch competition for pretty incredible exposure and potential funding. And so what we found is that this type of partnership, this public-private partnership with a town like Sahuarita, a large organization like Freeport-McMoRan, a university-based incubator like ours, together we can really come together. This is what it's all about, to support innovation. And so we're doing it again. So we have an open call right now. We're looking for startups in the region that either have a tie to the town of Sahuarita or the potential for a tie or to work there. So, for example, with Freeport and a lot of the mining activities that's down there, if there's a startup that's working in that space or has a technology that can be applicable for that space, this qualifies them. So we have applications open right now. Startups can go to our website to fill out those applications. They do close at the end of the day on Friday. And really what they're going for is a year here at the incubator, all covered by the town of Sahuarita and Freeport, as well as some space for them to do their work and some pretty incredible support. You'd be amazed at what a town like the town of Sahuarita can really do to support companies and provide inroads for them. And so excited. I know you've got Mayor Murphy on right after me, so I'm just kind of setting the stage for him. But some of the things that we're doing in the region.
I love it. Eric, maybe we'll close on this. We'll see. It's when I take a deep dive into Tucson's history around technology and innovation, I was reading an article written 20 years ago, almost exactly, that talked about how a few years before that, in the 90s, the nation had said, wow, Tucson could be this incredible place for Optics Valley. And they were right, we are. Even back then, there was this line in this article that said, for all of the national press, everyone nationally, internationally looking at Tucson and saying, you guys are pretty cool for XYZ reasons. In Tucson, we didn't know we were cool for XYZ reasons. And I don't know if it's charming humility or what we can chalk it up to this morning. But even today, Tucson is recognized nationally for its growing number of science and tech-based startups. The nation is writing about what's going on in Tucson. Your closing thoughts, Eric, what is Tucson need to know about how Tucson tech-based startups and science startups are making a positive impact in the world? What do we need to know?
Well, it's a good question for me because I'd like to consider myself one of Tucson's biggest cheerleaders, eternal optimism for our region and of course, the innovation that's coming out of here. You know, the one thing that I would say what Tucson really needs to know is that it's not about the organizations such as ours that serve the companies. We have a great program. We have awesome space. We have access to a lot of things for startup companies. But if we're to continue to do this alone, It doesn't work for these companies. They really need a whole region to support them. It was one of our an opportunity for us, and something that we spent a long time as a region working on over the last decade or so, is rallying the community around these companies, bringing organizations together to work together to support these companies, so that folks like me aren't saying things like, that was my startup that made it, but regions like ours are saying that was our startup that made it. They came from Southern Arizona, they took support from the community, from individuals as mentors, from organizations as support. And so what the community, I think, should know is that there are multiple different ways to patch into this activity, that it can't just be left up to organizations like ours, and that it's together, you know, both, you know, government, private, nonprofit, individuals. It takes a village to raise a startup. We still have a long way to go to build that village. And so for those that are looking to get involved, you know, always looking to connect with folks. And so, yeah, I think those would be my parting words, other than to put in a shameless plug for an event we have going on. If folks are interested in what I mentioned earlier, the SBIR mechanism for funding for startups, if they're looking to get involved with that, we actually have an event this coming Thursday from 3 to 4 p.m. where we're going to be talking about that funding mechanism and talking with a startup who's done it successfully. They're interested in that, or the Town of Sahuarita opportunity, or just looking to connect with us in general to see how they can become a part of this village that supports startups. They can find it all at our website, techparks.arizona.edu/UA Center for Innovation.
Eric Smith, you're a true pro, and love having you on the air. Thanks for being a cheerleader for Tucson. Thanks for the real work that you are also doing. Always good to catch up with you. Eric Smith, the Executive Director of the University of Arizona Center for Innovation. We'll leave it there, but we'll do this again soon. Thanks, Eric.
Thanks for having me, Zach. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you. When we come back, Eric teed it up perfectly. The mayor of Sahuarita, we're going to talk about some different themes, but the mayor of Sahuarita is with us. We've talked about him quite a bit in the last segment. Tom Murphy is in the green room. We'll go grab him. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere, Tucson.
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and schedule time with Devin and her team.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
Life isn't about money, but how you handle money impacts everything. The Ramsey Show, today at 1 on 1030 The Voice.
And we're back. Good morning to you, all of Tucson and Southern Arizona, coming to you live this morning at the Common Workspace Studios. Tipping Point with Zach Yenser on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice. Every morning drive time, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., talking about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. It kicked off the week yesterday. The theme apparently was, it's funny how that comes together, the need sometimes for hard truths told well.
out of love for the right reasons for community, and talked about some of that yesterday. But I try to sprinkle that quite a bit with good stories and good news out of the region. One foot in the pothole, one foot on the moon. I think we have to live in that tension. We had Eric Smith on, the executive director of the University of Arizona Center for Innovation, talking about how the university is helping to drive innovation here in Tucson and Southern Arizona. We probably said your name, Mayor Murphy, two or three times. Mayor Murphy is our guest, the mayor of the town of Sahuarita. Good to see you, sir.
Good to see you, and it's my first time in the new studio. So thanks for having me. And as you said, we've worked with Eric and the U of A on our SAMTech project and innovation for entrepreneurs in our area. They've been a really great partner over the years, and we appreciate their assistance.
Absolutely. And would love to, by the time we're done here, we're with you for the balance of the hour, talk about economic recovery in the region. Not just how do you recover, but how do you shape a new economy coming out of COVID-19. So we'll get there. But I want to jump right in, Mayor. I saw a picture of you maybe about a month ago. You were a part of a small regional representation that met with Senator Sinema, our senior senator here in Arizona, talking some infrastructure. And of course, you've been at the table for a number of years around the Regional Transportation Authority. Nothing gets a conversation going in Tucson, but on the show, quite like transportation. We were actually at an event last week, Mayor, and I'm sorry to tell this, and then it's all you, where the speakers, this is a rather large, you know, event of community leaders, and the speaker mentioned Tucson roads and infrastructure needs to be improved, as it does in any community for a successful economy. And the whole room started clapping. And, so it's a real thing in Tucson. But what can you tell us about the infrastructure package, that meeting with the senator, and then just transportation overall in the region?
Yes. And I was honored to be invited. But we've been on many calls with the mayors over the pandemic with Senator Sinema, and she's always purported to be bipartisan. So I think I was the only Republican in the room that day. So I think that was her effort to be bipartisan.
Promise made. Promise kept.
Absolutely, and I believe highly in that. And we had it at the airport, which I'm a big fan of. Have you had Danette Bewley on from Tucson Airport Authority?
Absolutely.
Big fan of hers and the efforts that they've been working on at the airport. So I think it was about $31 billion additional that will be coming to the airport. Plus, they have the PFAS chemicals infiltration that affect Tucson water, which affects our region as a whole, broadband. I think those are the types of things that big federal infrastructure bills should be dedicated to, because we probably don't have the ability, even with the RTA, to really clean up the either the big advances or the big problems sort of the world. So, you know, we're excited to see that. And I always consider myself on I-19 as an adopted border mayor. So I did give credit for San Luis and Douglas, the ports of entry, because I've seen the benefits of Mariposa's improvements of the port of entry and 189. And our biggest trading partner, as you know, is Mexico. And to find ways to boost economic development as well as safety, I think is very important. So I think all of the package as a whole, I know there's probably a lot in there that if I had total control and was king of the day, I probably wouldn't have gone for. But I think you have to at some point, especially when it comes to infrastructure, get to a place that we can move forward, invest in the big asks of the community and invest in those.
It'll be interesting. Senator Sinema is really one half of a two-person team that is really going to make the decision on not just the $3.5 trillion, which I don't think it's going to be $3.5 when it's all said and done, spending package. But part of that negotiation to move forward with that was locking in the $1 trillion infrastructure package as well. And so this is all the dynamics in play that I think were interesting right around the time y'all were meeting. And so that's interesting.
I agree. I think Senator Manchin and Senator Sinema, yeah, they've been really the two that, when you're so close in the vote in the Senate, to hold the line. And, of course, I worry about deficits. I worry about inflation. I think it's interesting how we throw around the word trillion so easily nowadays. You know, it was millions, and then it was billions, and now it's trillions, and they have long-term effects. And not that I will see it, it'll be more of my kids and grandkids that will probably have to pay that mm-hmm. back. So I think you have to be very strategic on what you invest in, but you have to think of the long-term consequences. And I just don't think we can afford all of this. I mean, it's good. I mean, we have lots of needs, but at some point you have to really hold the line.
We will see where that goes. We're with Mayor Murphy, the mayor of the town of Sahuarita here in Greater Tucson. Let's, over the rest of the way this segment, let's talk RTA. There was a 6 to 8 week period where that filled all the papers. It was all the conversation. There was a bit of tug and pull between the city of Tucson and Pima County and some of the other municipalities. It's gotten kind of quiet. Right. You know, we're about four some years out from a potential renewal, so there's time. But what can you share with us about how those conversations have continued around the future of the Regional Transportation Authority?
Right. Well, I certainly believe, and you go back to the Great Recession and the major projects that have been able to be invested in over time, because I think the average resident, when you see an improvement in your own community, you naturally think it is because of maybe the investment of the municipality, where most of the big investments, just like we were talking about at a federal level, locally have become part of, it's because of the RTA and the success of that. Back to your comment, promises made, promises kept. We had a great audit that we're doing all the things correctly at the 10-year mark. We're coming up on our 15-year audit, and as you said, we're probably about 5 years out. But I wouldn't want to wait until the last minute to see that. And I just honestly think it would be devastating to our area if that we didn't find a way to get to RTA next. And part of the difficulty is I try really hard when I'm sitting there as an RTA member to check my mayor's hat at the door. So it's the conversation of regionalism over parochialism. And I think that's very important to separate the two. And I think you can work on those concurrently. I think you can have an RTA conversation for the greater needs of our region. And then if I wanted to, and my council wanted to have a half-cent sales tax to do something more locally based, I think that's fine. But I think the past regional council have worked really well together to really consider and focus on that regional, the regional needs. Because if there's an improvement in the city, or there's an improvement in Sahuarita or Ovalle or Marana or on the nations, it benefits our region as a whole. Our jurisdictional lines or of good roads or not good roads don't stop at our boundaries. You know, most of our folks travel out of Sahuarita to work, so they have to travel on unincorporated Pima County roads up into the city. So I think it's just very important to try to keep that focus on regionalism, which can be difficult at times, and that's what I think we're struggling with a little bit. But I think to reinvent ourselves too much on what was the successful formula back in 2006, I think would be a mistake.
And to that point, the, you know, one of the interesting dynamics to watch, just as kind of an update, was the city of Tucson took a step back for about a year to flesh out what they call their Move Tucson priorities. That became their laundry list that all municipalities had to submit. The city of Tucson was about a year behind on that. And everyone kept saying, look, if the city of Tucson wants to drive a conversation around the next RTA, including maintenance costs or including more multimodal, we're open to that conversation, right, but we need to see the list. That was a number of months ago, Mayor Murphy. Has the list made its way, and is there openness? What's that dynamic?
Yes, the list has not made its way.
Okay.
And actually, all the municipalities submitted their list because the previous mayor of Tucson, Jonathan Rothschild, had requested of us to all get ahead of the game and get our list in. And that's been some of the frustration that everybody else has submitted, and we're still waiting. And really, the Citizens Advisory Committee can't do their work without a complete list of projects. So I believe the 2006 success really happened because it was a ground-up effort with the Citizens Advisory Committee. And I think if it's perceived by our voters that it was sort of, this is a top-down request by the electeds, no matter where they're from, I think with the mistrust in government and those types of things, I think that would be the wrong way to go. I think part of our success was that groundwork from the Citizens Advisory Committee. They held over 400 meetings. They were open to give and take and bring things in and take things out, but the process has to begin, and part of that is not having the projects from the city. So, and we're also working on putting back a 35-member CAC Advisory Committee to go forward. And from my perspective, all I want is good folks. I personally don't even care, you know, where they live. So a lot of the check boxing, box checking that is going on potentially, I think, is probably not going to be helpful. You know, I spent 21 years in the Air Force, and when you're working next to your person to the left or your right, all you cared about is quality and them being invested in the project. You know, we didn't do a lot of box checking, you know, from that perspective. So that's the perspective that I come from.
We could do a whole show on this, Mayor Tom Murphy, mayor of the town of Sahuarita. But let's put a pin in it for now. We'll go to our first break of this conversation, last break of our hour here of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser on AM 1030 KVUI, The Voice. When we come back, we'll talk about a couple of local economy issues, and then you have State of the Town coming up. So maybe you can give us a sneak peek of what that might be like. So
thanks.
That and more on the other side. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Tipping Point with Zach Yenser, 1030 The Voice.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. When looking at retirement planning, conventional thinking asks, how do I get a higher return? Should I take on more risk, or is there a better product? Jason Robinson and his team at MassMutual focuses on the overall strategy first. He and his team of advisors have the tools necessary to measure the proper balance of investments and actuarial science for the best path possible for the highest retirement income. Call Jason and his team at 520-274-3749 to have them run through an analysis at no cost to see how much more efficient you can be, and tell them Zach sent you over. You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento. What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about, and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
After you finish listening to The Tipping Point, listen to my show, The Hugh Hewitt Show, this morning from 10 to noon, right here on 1030 KBOI, The Voice.
Hey And we are back. Good morning again to you, Tucson, all of Southern Arizona. Tipping Point with Zach Yenser is what you're listening to. We're joined live in studio here, Tom Murphy, the mayor of the town of Sahuarita. Mayor, good to see you.
You as well.
As always, 30 minutes always feels like a lot of time. It's never enough time. But I want to talk about a couple of economy themes real quick. The city of Tucson is looking at a minimum wage increase. It's on the ballot. Tucson voters will have a chance to do that. One of the concerns has been, well, if it's just city of Tucson, what does that mean for businesses and business startups outside of Tucson, or even those who have businesses, you know, maybe in Oro Valley and then in Tucson? Pima County started a discussion last week on, well, maybe we'll follow, you know, if the voters of the city of Tucson go for it, maybe we'll make it a region-wide thing, because that's always been the concern, as it looks to outpace the state's the minimum wage, or maybe not. But your thoughts, what would that mean for the local economy of Sahuarita in your mind, and should the county look at matching the city of Tucson on a minimum wage increase?
Right. Well, I think myself and my council would certainly be opposed to it. We have a belief that government is best when it governs least, and that's our philosophy down there. And the small businesses really are the backbone, the foundation of the economy. I know a lot of, you know, the big corporates get a lot of attention, but it's really the small businesses. And I think on top of the pandemic, especially with our restaurants, gyms, and others, to govern the market, I think of it more as sort of social engineering. I think that would be very detrimental. I think the market needs to dictate. And I just heard something about Amazon is going to, because they're hurting so badly, they're going to be offering $18 an hour. So I think allowing the market to dictate what is appropriate. I know Flagstaff, my understanding is, went to this a few years ago, and I think they're having some buyer's remorse on there. And I think the small businesses, again, have been saddled with so much difficulty to have government, you know, dictate on what their wage should be. My first job many years ago was McDonald's, and I learned a lot from that. And having a kiosk, probably where they're moving to because of these types of things, I think that's detrimental. I never thought my first job at McDonald's was going to be to support a family on at 16 years of age, but it taught me a lot of skills. And I think not having that ability for entry-level jobs, I think, would be harmful not only to our young folks, but a lot of times when I was there many years ago, we also had some of the older folks that just wanted to get out of the house. And most of the people that worked with me were older than me. But it was not, again, for the idea of having a living wage. So I think that it'll be harmful. I'm opposed to it. And I think we'll have to wait to see what the results of that are.
Yeah, November feels far away. It's not.
It's not.
It's really around the corner. I wanted to ask you about the economy of Southern Arizona, and then we'll talk about the state of Sahuarita really quick as
right.
we close, which is coming up this month. But Mayor Murphy, you know, 90% of the jobs recovery across the state back to pre-COVID levels has come from just the Phoenix area. 75% of the state's GDP is driven out of the Phoenix area.
Right.
That I don't think that's sustainable for a state. And I wonder, what does Pima County and Southern Arizona have to do and do better to become a larger piece of that pie? How are you thinking in the years ahead?
Right. And I agree with that. And you've seen recently even Pinal County doing much better, which Maricopa is much larger, but to me it's disturbing that Pinal is doing so well as opposed to us in Pima County. And we have to be, as Southern Arizona, sustainable. And I don't, maybe it's these conversations about minimum wage, or we're always sort of painted with bad infrastructure brush down in our area, which isn't the case for Sahuarita. But usually you're measured by your largest city, which is the city of Tucson. So I think we do have to be careful. I think we have to, you know, tell our story. I work with Sun Corridor. I think they do a good job telling our story, but it's always reported back from site selectors and such, that infrastructure and the status of our schools are two of the biggest hurdles that we have to overcome as a region. And if we don't focus on those areas, when we always have our budget presentation, I'm always proud of, we have a little bar graph that our finance director puts up, and public safety is the biggest bar, all the way to the left. Next is always public works infrastructure. Park and recreation is number three. And then all the way off to the right-hand part of the slide is the mayor and council's budget, which is almost falling off of the graph, which I'm happy with.
Have you gotten a raise since the 1990s? We have been in the city of Tucson.
Yes, no, I have not since I've been serving. But I'm, you know, I'm happy to be a public servant, but you know, I really do that to represent the voices of our businesses, our small businesses, our residents. And when you were talking earlier about the word pothole, that's not one of the words that we associate with the town of Sahuarita, and we're very proud and happy about that. We're supplementing our HERF money by over $500,000. And that could be a whole other conversation on the last time HERF has been adjusted in the tax rate and electric vehicles and who's contributing to what. But I think those quality of life products, services, is, you know, public safety first. We're always rated and as one of the top five safest communities in Arizona, which I think has led to our growth. We have to go back 10 years since you can match our single family home permits. So we're up on our construction sales tax by 60%. Our retail taxes collection is up over 30% over last year, and that's even during the pandemic. So some of us, I think, have done well. I think it's been uneven. If you're tied into tourism and some of those, obviously the restaurants, hotels, tourist areas have been hard hit. We've been blessed more than, I think, others in some ways. But I think it goes back a little bit towards that. Government does best when they govern least and trust the market and our business owners and our residents to do the right thing.
What's interesting is there was a big metro area that did a national survey of what retains and attracts people. What makes people make the decision to come and stay? Affordability.
Yes.
Cost of living. Opportunity. High wage jobs. Quality of life. Schools. Roads. Parks. Safety.
Right.
It's not tacos.
Right.
It's not, I mean, this is not me. This is the data.
Right.
Not tacos. Not trails. Not even a lot of the social determinants. It's those three things. We've got about a minute. You gave us a bit of the state of the town.
Right.
If people want to hear your full speech, is there still space? Can people come hang out with you in Sahuarita?
Yes, the Green Valley Sahuarita Chamber of Commerce. I think there's a few more spaces available. But last year, we didn't have it in-person event, so we actually broadcast it by video. I think we're going to try to do a portion of that afterwards. But, you know, just proud to be able to and thank our sponsors for helping us and the community to be so invested in our town. We're celebrating our 27th year since incorporation. We grew about 35%. The last census count came out. We just went over 34,000 people. And to think we started in 1994 with 1,800.
Wow.
It's been quite the ride. And challenging at times. I spent many years on the school board, that you might know, and building schools on a rapidly growing community has been very, you know, been very challenging. But we're very proud of the place that we are and want to work regionally to continue that good story.
Mayor Tom Murphy, Mayor of the town of Sahuarita, always good to be with you. Thanks for coming in live. Thanks for being here. And we'll do this again sooner than later.
Thank you, Mayor. Appreciate it.
Good to see you.
Have a great day.
When we come back tomorrow, we'll talk with our faith and culture contributor. And then Ruben Navarrete, the most widely read Latino columnist in the country, talks the Newsom recall. We'll know things tomorrow we don't today. He'll update us. We'll be back, Tucson. Take care. Stay safe out there.